Generative AI is absolutely amazing. You can type a few words into a chatbot and get reams and reams of text. You don't even have to know anything. It provides all the answers. It tells you what you need to know. Imagine you have a press release. Your CEO is going at the microphone. You don't even have to prep her now. You just put in a few cues into ChatGPT and she'll have everything she needs to deliver the answers the press are looking for, or maybe not. Abby, what's on your mind?
Yeah, it's the maybe not part that's on my mind. You know, we were actually having this conversation earlier about, you know, how really quite magical AI can be. You know, exactly as you said, you throw a few words into the prompt, you tell it what you want, and it you know, quickly, so quickly spits you back everything that you want, and you just hit save and say that you're done, except that there was no fact checking. There was no comparativeness. There was no, you know, has this been said by anyone else before? And we're starting to see more and more people are getting caught with what they're going out and talking about or printing or standing up at a press conference and saying that clearly has not had anyone bother to check it to make sure that it's factually accurate. And, you know, the simple fact that they talk about the mistakes that AI can make as a hallucination should tell us that you can't be, you know, taken at face value. And so I've been kind of playing around a little bit with it, trying to get it to give me something wrong, like seeing if I can get it to, and it doesn't take a whole lot to get wrong. It just, you have to be a lot smarter about what you're using it for. And I've been fascinated in not so much the conversations I'm having with other communicators who regularly use this and to the extent that they understand the value of double checking, but it also continues to be conversations with non-communicators who just think it is the bomb diggity in that they can use it for everything. And why do we need any? Of course it's accurate. Well, why? Why do you think it's accurate? Like what about it? Just because it's, you know, it spits out something quickly and sounds really cool doesn't really mean it's right. Or even if it's factually correct, is the right thing for you to be saying in the context by which you have chosen to pull that particular passage from wherever you're getting it from.
Right. The book of Ezekiel or whatever.
But right.
Let's not go there. You know, it's funny because I think part of why this is happening is that the large language models are designed to produce meaningful, grammatically correct sentences. And so they do that very well. Everything reads fluently. And, you know, unless you are accustomed to reading the specific contextual documents in a particular field, this generic language can be very, very compelling. It reminds me of something I used to deal with as a university professor back, you know, quite a long time ago with regard to plagiarism. And this is much before AI was a common thing. So we're talking a good 15, 20 years before ChatGPT.
Went to a library to look things up? Go to the library? Yeah.
This was now, people were not going to the library, they were going to Wikipedia, and that was part of the problem. But what would happen is I would say to the students at the beginning of every semester, we'd have a conversation going through the syllabus and looking at all the things. And there was a whole section on plagiarism and the university's policies and how we would handle it if people used things that they didn't cite. And, you know, this is part of the learning process. In my view, you need to teach people how to work with sources, how to cite them appropriately, how to think your own thoughts, but then ground them in the literature, you know, et cetera. So we have a very open conversation about this. And I would say to them, listen, here's what's likely to happen. There will come a time this semester when you haven't done the reading, but there's something due. And you'll have a computer sitting there and you'll think to yourself, you know, if I just Google this, surely I can get this assignment done in time and I'll turn it in. And I said, and so some of you will be tempted to do that. I want to tell you why that's a really bad idea. I've been working in this field for 15 years. I know everybody personally who has written the things that you are reading this semester. This is a small community of scholars. Middle East historians, sociologists, anthropologists, economists. We all go to the same conferences. We all read each other's work. We read drafts of the papers before they're read, you know, that kind of a thing. I also know what's reasonable for you to know because, you know, you're 21, 22, you haven't been studying this. And so if you start telling me about Ahmed ibn Hanbal's proclamations in the 6th century, I know you don't know that. There's no way you know that. And if you do, you're going to write about it in a particular way that's going to sort of cue me into the fact that this is something that you've learned about and you're excited to bring into the conversation. What some of you are going to do is assume that because it makes sense, I'll think you wrote it. And the problem is I have all the context in the world and you don't. And it's so easy to spot the plagiarism. You would be shocked at how obvious it is. So please just don't do that, right? That was kind of the speech. And we would walk through this thing and we'd still have people do it anyway. Or worse, and there's no excuse for this one, they would copy paragraphs from Wikipedia, paste them into Microsoft Word, and not even remove the blue links. So that's an automatic F just for being an idiot. But anyway, I think in this case, back to your example, the stuff just sounds good. And, you know, if you don't really know much beyond the surface of it, you might think it's correct. The fact-checking, though, that's the problem.
Right. And I think what you said, though, it has the conversation, you know, we would have to learn how to find things. And yes, we do have access to information in a different way now, but we still have to ask the right questions. We still have to start with the premise, you know, and this is not to say don't use these tools. I wholeheartedly support using them, but it is just that. It is a start to your own thought process. It gives you a place to synthesize your thoughts, whatever that might be. And again, it will bring you back accurate information, but it still requires you to think about it, synthesize it, decide that it's actually true. If you're going to use what it gives you back and quote, it's quoting something or someone, you owe it to yourself, if only to demonstrate that you are smart and thoughtful to find out if that source that it's quoting is actually a legitimate source. Doesn't mean the information is wrong. You just want to be able to accurately cite it. And, you know, again, I'm a little bit older than you, so I do remember going to the library and having to find it. And then, you know, and I still have nightmares about, you know, how to properly cite with footnotes and endnotes and never again.
Chicago manual style.
Yeah, right.
You know, MLA, or now it's, you know, AP style book for journalists. You know, all that stuff is out there. And the sources are easier than ever to find. We're not saying you have to become this, you know, nerdy researcher deep in the archives. Even Google's AI overviews, when you do a search now, they will have sources right there at the end. But you know what's interesting? The number of times when it will state something very confidently, this is the blah, 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 this is the facts. And then if you click the sources and it's got four different articles that, you know, will pop up and you can link to, you go read them and what it just said isn't in any of those four things. So it's like, well, wait a minute. I don't know if I believe this now.
Right.
Well, the more you use this in real world contexts, the more you will start to find the limits. And I think that's important to know.
Right. And, you know, one of the things that's becoming, you know, part of our conversation, what public relations practitioners are spending considerable amount of time talking about is we want to be found by the large language models. Like we are, for the last handful of years, we need to be top of the Google search. We need our information, our clients' information to be above the fold, to use an old fashioned term. We want to be first on the, you know, the top of the lists. And now that conversation is we want to be found by the large language models to be the reference point. When someone pulls up something, we are the link that is being quoted. And how do you do that? And how can you be accurately cited? Like, and therefore dial that back. It has to start from a place of accuracy, right? I mean, if we believe in the power of what these tools can do, we have to make sure that what we're putting out there as a primary source, if that's what we're talking about here, is accurate, is to the best of our ability been fact-checked and we understand it to be truthful. And so that if it gets picked up and is then used in whatever other formatting it's going to be, that we know it, we can stand behind its accuracy. And there, you know, there's a distinction, you know, between what is factual, what is considered creative writing, what is, you know, poetic license, and all the other ways that we generate content. And I don't mean we as in PR people necessarily, but anyone that's writing something for the purpose of writing, it potentially has the ability to be found by any one of these LLMs. And so thinking through what that means, and again, where to the extent that I think consumers are seeing so much content that is AI generated, and to me looks clearly AI generated, and I'm talking more so photography, video snippets, you know, I mean, it is clear that some of these things, you know, the little Yorkie puppy that gets dropped into the elephant, you know, pen, and the elephant picks it up and hands it back is not real. There's, first of all,
I'm shocked, I tell you, shocked.
I know. They wouldn't have been allowed into the zoo with the dog. I mean, there's all sorts of things, but it was a nice little pleasant story. Isn't that sweet? But
Abby, I just have to say, in a world where nobody goes to zoos anymore, you and I are the only ones that know you can't bring
a dog.
Can't
do that.
Like, not you and I only, but you know what I mean? Like, the problem is, if you have people who have never tried stuff in real life to the extent that they don't know you can't do that, then it becomes even more convincing.
Yes, yes, yes. And maybe, you know what, maybe there was a grain of truth somewhere in that story. But, we've talked about media literacy and understanding and being, you know, appropriately cynical when you're looking at certain things and trying to understand and whether or not it's truthful. Could it be truthful? We would call that propaganda back in the day. You know, there's no rule against putting that information out there. It's really on us to consume it correctly and understand it's where it's coming from. The risk that we have now with AI and all the various platforms that are there is that it has become ingrained and part of, I mean, I'm staring at my screen right now where it tells me I can ask Gemini. And if I close out this link, it's got my Copilot and it's got my, I mean, everywhere I am, I can check what I'm doing. And, you know, we were talking earlier that, you know, you can take what you put into ChatGPT and run it through Claude and then see what Copilot's like, try to see if you can catch the inaccuracies. But that's someone who takes very seriously the accuracy of what I'm putting out there. And so if I have these additional places to check, I'm going to try and use those. Not everybody does, nor does everybody feel that they need to. And the authoritative nature of how this information gets parroted back to you and who is using this content to give keynote speeches or, you know, standing up at a press conference, the authoritativeness of that individual leads you to believe that that information is accurate. And the risk that we have is putting too much trust in the systems and not enough trust in the humans involved in the process. And that's where I think the biggest lesson in some of these, you know, it's one thing to knowingly say, I'm just going to take what ChatGPT gives me and put it out there with my name on it. And just, that's it. It's another thing to just assume that everything in it is right. And then that the person who puts it back out there somehow is the authority. And I believe that, and will continue to believe that as consumers of any of this content, it is still our responsibility to take one more look, check one more source, really understand if what we're seeing is accurate, not necessarily because of the person that's saying it or the document, the media outlet, the magazine, whatever the heck it is that's out there saying it. We need to be slightly cynical and say, I need to double check to see if this is accurate or not, and find a couple sources that say, you know what, that little Yorkie puppy really did fall into the elephant pen. And if not, and it was just a sweet thing that, you know, popped up on my Facebook feed and made me smile, you know, early in the morning when I'm scrolling, but I'm not going to turn around and say, did you hear about, and is this true? We need to have this responsibility, and we're not going to fix it. It's going to continue. I mean, I'm not that naive to think that just because, you know, we're saying it here on this podcast that the world is going to change. And truthfully, you have to, you know, put a lot of faith in all of us in, that are using it, that we're doing it correctly. But as it gets better and as more people use it, we need to understand the responsibility of that, both as a user and as someone that is consuming the content that's being delivered from it.
So as we wrap up this conversation, I want to add in a couple of things that I think PR and comms professionals need to really be grappling with, because while some of this could be sort of bleak, I actually think there's a huge opportunity here because of the gap, the accuracy gap, the potential for misinformation. Let's be honest, the biggest companies powering this stuff need the information to be accurate and useful. They don't want to become the purveyors of mass conspiracy theories and disinformation and misinformation. However, the sources that they have to work with, you know, a large language model ingests the internet in large quantities and then determines sentence patterns from this, well, you know, garbage in, garbage out at some level. So I think the opportunity is to be proactive as the world changes and how people find their information changes. I think we need to be getting ahead of all of this. And so I just want to provide a couple of quick signposts. Maybe there's future conversations we need to have here. So first of all, what I'm now calling the machine layer, I didn't make that up, but it seems to be a good phrase to explain this background of AI-generated search results, LLMs, et cetera. The machine layer needs to find your information to be legible. In other words, it needs to be able to read it and understand it. And they're getting better at pulling text out of audio and video. They're getting better at reading web pages. An algorithm reads a web page very differently than a human. So there's legibility, and that's a technical thing you can learn more about. Then there's a question of credibility. Who is the source of this information? Credibility and authoritativeness kind of go together. They're not exactly the same, but they do have to do with what do other people say about this source? Is this corroborated? That would be credibility. Is this in respected, authoritative publications? That would be authoritativeness. So you need your spokespeople, your experts, your knowledge workers to be putting out information that is legible, credible, and authoritative, because then the machine layer is going to select what's relevant. So if somebody is asking Google or ChatGPT or Claude or anyone else a question, they're going to get an answer that is relevant to them. This means it's personalized. It means the context of their search history as an individual is going to determine what answers they get. A lot of the old school SEO people are viewing this as deeply problematic because they can't game the system in the same way that they used to. Everybody's getting a different answer. Well, good, because when I ask about a Mazda, I want my ChatGPT or LLM of choice to know that I have a 2014 Mazda CX-9 that has been having electrical problems for the last year. And so when I ask about why is this light on my dashboard, I want an answer that takes my context into account, not just what do we know about Mazdas in general, right? So think about how to make the contributions you're making to the content machine legible, credible, authoritative, so that when they're relevant, they will be served to the people who are asking for them. Absent that, and I think that's a collective effort we all need to engage in, fact-checking becomes a problem, because the only thing that Google will find or whatever conspiracy theories have gotten the most attention, not what's the most authoritative or credible.
Right. And by getting the most attention, it starts to take on the air of authoritativeness, right? Because but I saw it six different times and so it sort of naturally, we jump to the conclusion that it must be accurate because it's been pulled up so many times. And look, you know, we've talked about AI multiple times on this podcast. It's come in various different ways. And, you know, the messaging, I think, is the same consistently, you know, and I believe if we're talking about this a year from now, we'll have a similar, you know, pattern to our conversation that there's no denying that it's here and it's part of communications, but it's part of everyday life. And there is, as you said, the makers of these models will need us to have it as accurate as possible. It's their, you know, it's their, they want to be seen as accurate. They want to be the one that we choose to use. They want to be the one we subscribe to, et cetera. And so if we are using it, if it's becoming part of our daily operations, we have multiple platforms from which to choose from. I suggest we use multiples anyway, because you get that chance to kind of see other, you know, variations of the themes. The responsibility on the user to do everything they can to be as accurate as possible. For those of us that are putting content out there on a regular basis, original content needs to start and be original and come from the right place in order to be authoritative, in order to be found. We need to keep it accurate. We need to continue to update things. We need to manage that information flow and recognize and accept the responsibility for that accuracy. The urgency for the non-communicators that are using it is to understand the value of the information and how quickly you can get it does not negate the extra step you need to take in order to make sure what you are doing is not contributing to the inaccuracy of information that's out there. And so when we do that, then these tools work hand in hand with our brains and work hand in hand with the humanization of the information. I think it's a valuable proposition for us. When we rely 100% on the machine and forget to put ourselves into those stories, that's when we're going to find ourselves in trouble and quoting, you know, Bible passages from, you know, pop culture and not from the actual Bible.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Copper State of Mind. If you enjoyed the conversation, please share it with a colleague who might also find this podcast valuable. It's easy to do. Just click the share button in the app you're listening to now to pass it along. You can also follow Copper State of Mind in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other podcast app. We publish new episodes every other Friday. Copper State of Mind is brought to you by HMA Public Relations, the oldest continuously operating PR firm in Arizona. The show is recorded and produced by the team at Speed of Story, a B2B communications firm in Phoenix, and distributed by PHX.fm, the leading independent B2B podcast network in Arizona. For all of us here at Speed of Story and PHX.fm, I'm Adrian McIntyre. Thanks for listening and for sharing the show with others if you choose to do so. We hope you'll join us again for another episode of Copper State of Mind.